Frink snapped the blowpipe and threw us aside.
So it's our wasp, eh? What's your name, wasp?
Packertug swallowed hard and tried to stop trembling.
Packertug's me name.
Frink twitched his tender nose.
Packertug, eh? What did you call him, Renzo?
Ha! I'd call him Dead Squirrel, or maybe No Paws. Then again, Slit Tongue might be an handsome title for a squirrel who follows sea rats round a firing dart at him.
They bound Packertug's paws tightly. Dripnose threw a noose about his neck and gave it a sharp tug.
Move lively, matey. We'll see what name Captain Greypatch can think up for you.
Clary, Time and Don Rosie stood to attention in the armoury at Salamandastrum. Lord Rawnblade paced up and down, a worried frown creasing his broad brow.
Long Eyes has reported the smouldering wreck of a ship. Green Fang. It's one of Gabool's. There may have been trouble farther north up the coast. Clary, I want you to take your patrol up there, fully provisioned and well armed. Find out what's been going on and report back to me. But if you are needed up there by any good creatures, then stay and help out as best you can. Understood?
Clary made an elegant salute with his lance.
Leave it to us, sir.
Rawnblade allowed himself a fleeting smile.
Thank you, Clary. Move your patrol out whenever you wish.
The Badger Lord watched him go from his high window. The three hares swiftly bounded across the beach, sometimes skipping in and out of the small wavelets at the water's edge. Rawnblade turned back to his forge and quenched a red-hot spearhead in water. He remembered long seasons back, three similar hares, young, carefree fighters, their bodies washed up on the tide line after Kabul's sea rats had finished with them. Rawnblade set the spearhead on the anvil and began beating it with mighty blows. His heavy hammer rose and fell, sweat mixed with tears and sizzled into the embers of the forges as the ruler of the Fire Mountain renewed his vow.
I cannot leave my mountain and these shores undefended, but one day, Gabool, one day you will sail back to here, and I will be waiting. Oh ho, Gabool! All the seas of the world cannot keep us apart. It is written that we will meet again. We will meet. We will meet. We will meet!
Rawnblade repeated the phrase over and over with each hammer blow upon the spearhead, releasing his pent-up frustrations. When he finally stopped, the spear blade had been battered to four times its size and was thin as a leaf. From the western flatlands fronting the abbey, a chorus of larks wakened Marielle. She stood stretching and rubbing her eyes for a brief moment until realization hit her. It was almost an hour after dawn. The mousemaid slung Gullwacker around her neck and opened the door carefully, listening for familiar sounds of abbey bustle. Thankfully, she noted silence from outside and inside the building. Stealing quietly down the corridor, Marielle could not help a slight sense of bewilderment. Usually, Redwall was alive and humming by this time. Tip-pouring through Great Hall, she retrieved a knapsack of supplies she had hidden behind a column before supper. Thanking her lucky stars, she dashed across the lawn toward a small wicker gate in the north wall and unbolted it. Taking one last backward look at the sleeping abbey, the mousemaid sniffed, wiped her eyes, took a deep breath, and left Redwall with its happy memories behind her. Flatlands to the left, woodlands to the right, Marielle strode the brown dusty path that wound northward. Early dew was drying from the lea already. It was going to be a hot day. She stayed on the side of the path where Mossflower provided tree shade. Strange that the Red Wallers should sleep so late, she thought. Still, it was far better in a way. Marielle had been dreading any long tearful farewells. It would be far easier this way, even though she felt rather guilty, stealing off like a thief in the early dawn.
"I'm Marielle,"
the mousemaid called aloud to Mossflower Country.
"Swear by this honourable weapon known as the Gullwacker that one day I will return to Redwall Abbey and all my true friends and dear companions I leave there. always providing that I live through the dangers of the task ahead of me, that is. Oh, and providing, of course, that I can find the way back. No, that's nonsense. I'd find my way back if I had only one leg and the snows were as high as the treetops. But what if I'm slain or I fail my quest? Well, in that case, I solemnly swear that my spirit will find its way back to Redwall Abbey. There, that's that. I feel much better now, even hungry enough for a spot of breakfast.
Without stopping her march, she munched bread and cheese from the knapsack. A stroke of luck provided an old apple tree hanging its boughs low over the path, so she plucked an early russet apple and bit into it, noting her find as a lucky omen for the journey ahead. Wood pigeons cooed within the dimness of woodland depths. Bees hummed and grasshoppers chafed out on the sunlit flatlands. Marielle began skipping, twirling Gullwhacker at her side, suddenly filled with a sense of freedom and adventure. What better than to travel alone? Eat when you please, rest when you feel the need, camp by your own little fire at night and sleep snug in some forest glade. The feeling flooded through with such force that it made her light-headed, and she began singing aloud an old play song known to mice everywhere.
The winter, oh, the winter, oh, with cold and dark and driving snow. Oh, not for me the winter, oh, my friend, I told you so. In spring the winds do sports and play, and rain can tame down any day. While autumn oft is misty grey, my friend, hear what I say. When summer sunlight comes each morn, the birds sing sweet each golden dawn, and flowers get kissed by every bee, while shady stands the tree. The summer, oh, amid its golden peace I go, from noon to lazy